Chapter 5. Yes, if you're going to junior church, feel free to go. Wow. As we've made our journey through the book of Acts, we see when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers at Pentecost, there was laughing and joking, and then Peter healed the lame man. You come to the next chapter. People were in awe and running. We come to the fourth chapter. They were threatened and told not to speak in the name of Jesus. And instead they went and prayed, and the whole place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit once again. And this time there was a shaking. And I believe God wants to shake us to our core, but I pray that He would give us the capacity to understand this level of anointing that God has called us to in ministry. Now, when we're saved, and obviously the passage was read this morning, the disciples received all the Holy Spirit they were going to get when Jesus breathed on them. But when we come through Acts, and we see that God is beginning to get more and more of the believers. And there's a place of deep surrender that very few people get to. But we know, and we've watched people's lives and how God has worked, if that level of surrender comes, oh, the glory of God shows up and people are delivered and healed and a lot of people get saved. I want you to know that this level of empowerment is not just for Billy Graham or D.L. Moody. It's for those that will count the cost and surrender. And as we come into this passage of Scripture, all the church was experiencing great things. They were one in heart and mind. They were filled with joy and wonder. They were completely unified together. They were unattached to material things. They were gospel-centered. They focused on the resurrection of Jesus and declaring that to everybody. But as you know that there is no perfect church, and as you know, when God's Spirit begins to move, there's going to be the devil, the viper, the serpent, the snake, nipping at our heels. Some of us have already begun to experience some of those kind of difficulties and trials in our lives. But I want to say, rest assured, keep surrendering to Jesus Christ. Because the devil can't win. When Jesus said it is finished, He took all that was against us and nailed it to the cross and made a public showing. And those that are in Christ Jesus are seated far above all principalities and powers. But we have a guy at the end of this passage by the name of Barnabas. And for us to understand culturally what's going on, first of all, remember in Matthew 24, Jesus prophesied and told the disciples, and they were well aware of it, that the Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And we know in history it was destroyed in AD 70. So it was a common practice. They received the power of the Holy Spirit. And more than likely, the reason why at this time people were selling all their homes and properties in Jerusalem was because they knew it was going to be destroyed and God told them to leave the city, to flee Jerusalem. Now, there was one man who didn't have property in Jerusalem. He had it outside somewhere else, and so that's why the Bible laid note of him. He didn't have to sell his property. His name was Barnabas, and he did. He sold his property and gave it all and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it makes note of him, especially because his land was somewhere else. It wasn't in Jerusalem. So now we understand kind of culturally what's going on, why people were selling their houses and lands. At that time, that's what was happening. That's how the Spirit was speaking and moving, I believe. And as we look at the Word of God, we come to chapter 5 and it says, "But a man named Ananias." Every time there's a great move of God's Spirit, there's a but and an Ananias. Now pay close attention to this. We need the Spirit of God to understand this, because what we're talking about today is more than I ever thought when I read this passage. But I'm talking about giving gone bad, or if you want to take it more at the root of it, it's worship gone bad. Because the whole church was unified and functioning as one body, but then there was Ananias who saw, wow, this guy was, his name was even changed to Encourager. So it's like, you know, Terry did this great thing in service for God. He sold all of his land and property and laid it at the apostles' feet. And if you can picture that for a moment. And everybody said, man, that was so encouraging that he did that when he didn't have to do that. Let's call him the Encourager. It was noted in the church. Ananias and Sapphira were watching. Aha. Because this is what happens when worship goes bad. Because when the devil starts to come in and put a stop to revival, he uses anybody. It could be people in the church. So giving goes bad when our envy of others replaces our reverence and respect for God. And there you're going to find a theme throughout this passage that the fear of the Lord came upon the people and all that heard what was about to happen. Now, all of you familiar with this story, then Ananias and Sapphira, because of their envy, as we're going to get to in a moment, they were struck dead. This was the early stages of the church, and God was setting an example. There was only a couple other cases in the Old Testament of this happening. That's when the priests were offering strange fire on the altar. In other words, worship gone bad. Not worshiping the way they were supposed to, God struck them dead. When they were carrying the altar, the symbol of God's presence, they were told to carry it in a certain way and not to touch it. Uzzah stuck his hand out and touched it. He instantly died. Now, this is the glory and the power and the presence of the living God. And when we get later into the New Testament, it says, you know, let us worship God with reverence and fear, because our God is a consuming fire. So giving goes bad when our envy of others replaces. Wow, that Barnabas, he looks pretty good in the church. But you know what? I want to buy a TV and I want to get a new car too. So what I can do is I can go and lay it at the apostles' feet and make it look like, because they're not going to know what price I got. They paid me good money for this piece of property. And I can have my car and other things that I want to have. See, the envy of someone else being used of God in the church led to a great sin. And then the second part of that is giving goes bad when we get greedy and hold something back for ourselves. And that's what he did in verse 2. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought it only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, the Bible talks about money over and over and over again, and this is right where our heart is where money is. If you want to know where your heart is, look at your budget. Hello? Debt, spending, credit cards, that shows your heart. Because I want to tell you, God's way is to not be in debt, is to save and give sacrificially to the Lord. Because then God blesses. Then God provides. You know, there was times when I remember being back in Chicago and working at Teen Challenge, and that was a minimum wage salary, and just wondering where, I was trying to scrape food here and there, and I was eating stuff that I would consider disgusting now. Ramen noodles, maybe we'll put some little fake cheese in it, and some hot dogs. That was a gourmet meal for that time. But just when the money was about to run out, there would be a check that somehow would come in the mail. Because I still chose to give to God. Our pocketbooks shows the root of where our hearts are at. And Ananias and Sapphira, seeing they wanted spiritual recognition in the church, but they wanted to hang on to their money. Giving goes bad when greed comes in and we want to hold something back. And I want to share again, this guy that I met in the Ukraine has changed my life forever because he said, anything you see here, you can have. Had literally nothing, with a big smile on his face. So now, I need to detach. I'm a sentimental person, and right now I'm in a process of detaching. God's going, he's pulling it out. Sometimes I try to pull it back. Nope, he's pulling it out. Because things weigh us down. They do. It's nice to have things, and God has given us the right to have things because we know that from the Ten Commandments, because he says, don't steal. That means humans have the right to own things. Right? God gives us that right. But not until we detach that God can bless. Number three, giving goes bad when we allow Satan to fill our hearts to lie to the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 3. He says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. A great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. So giving goes bad when we allow Satan to fill our hearts. That's what happened. Peter recognized it immediately. Satan has filled your heart. It is his goal to take something good and just tweak it a little bit and twist it. It says in 1 Peter that he's like a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. And he devoured Ananias and Sapphira. They allowed Satan to fill their hearts. They allowed Satan to take something good like giving and to tweak it a little bit so I could just keep a little something for myself. Giving goes bad when we allow Satan to fill our hearts. See, when the church is being blessed by a move of the Holy Spirit, we can expect to be attacked. But this level of anointing, this level of God's moving of His Spirit in His power, we must enter into spiritual warfare. It says in James 4:7, he says, submit to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. There's too many people trying to resist the devil without first submitting to God. That doesn't work. We're going to find out that later in Acts, that there was guys trying to cast out demons without first being submitted to God. They got attacked. They got beat up by the demonized person. See, giving goes bad when we allow Satan to fill our hearts. We must submit to God, and we have the power to resist. God's given us that in the cross. So, folks, if we want God to operate in this realm in our lives, we have to submit. We have to watch out when Satan is going to take revival and he's going to twist it. He could use me and he could use you to stop revival. He could use me, he could use you to sow discord and disunity in the body of Christ. So giving goes bad, and it gets to another level when we contrive a plan in our hearts to deceive God and others about our true spiritual condition. Now I want to talk about what is the number one thing that people say why they won't come to church, because it's full of... We all know it. This is why God treats this so seriously, why He uses example, because this is not an issue of whether or not He wanted to keep His property and the money for Himself. He could have just said, honey, we sold it, let's keep it and use it, or let's go to the apostles and say, we sold this for this much and we're giving 80% of it to the church. He could have done that, and God would have blessed him, even if he would have given part of it. If he had true spirituality. Because here's where Satan comes in. And if we begin to contrive in our hearts a plan about how I can look spiritual, how I can have my cake and eat it too, how I can be okay and look okay in God's house, but still hang on to my pet sins. Well, how others can look at me and think that I am a man and I am a woman of prayer, and then I'm really not. Now, no, since I'm the one that's talking, the Bible said I will be judged to a greater degree, and this is why. Fake spirituality is based on mere talk. Now, I want you to see this verse out of 1 John, because we sometimes have a fake form of spirituality and a fake form of love, and 1 John kind of clears that up. And I want you to see this verse. It's very important. If you don't have your Bibles open, I encourage you to open them or get one in the pew, because you have to see this for yourself. This is the light. This is the Word of God to be honored and feared and respected and taken for real as it is in our lives. 1 John 3:18, he says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." See, here's real spirituality. It's based on action and truth. It's not, well, we need to fast and pray because things are getting so bad. We need to fast and pray. It's not, well, and let me tell you probably what was happening here. Probably at that time, Peter was given an invitation in the service in Solomon's porch there in the temple. And they were probably singing another version that we don't know of, "I Surrender All." Ananias was like, "This is the perfect time to go down and lay this money at the apostles' feet." The reason why I'm saying that is how many times, and this is the same thing, God can't work in our lives if we're lying to God and to everyone else as our true spiritual condition. I could sing a song, "I Surrender All," but I'm lying. I could sing a song, "I am free," but still not be free in my heart. It's lying. It's a spiritual deception that will keep us from experience all the life and the goodness and love that God wants us to experience. True spirituality is based on action and truth. Giving goes bad when we contrive a plan to deceive God and others in our hearts. Or, you know, this is a temptation for us, since we have a church where we have a freedom to speak here. Brother or sister so-and-so stands up and the Spirit of God really moves through their testimony. So, don't raise your hands. But how many times have you been tempted to say, "Oh, I better come up with something because I want to keep my status as spiritual. I want to say something." And I've heard a lot of times, even out of myself and others as well, I'm in there with you, where people will just say any old thing. It's like they're stumbling to come up with words because they don't know what to say next, because God hasn't given them anything to say. But they want to match the spiritual standards of everybody else. You don't have to. Be who God called you to be and speak when God tells you to speak. Don't look at Barnabas and say, "I want the recognition." Look to God and say, "God, how can you use me?" It disrupts the anointing of God. And I can't tell you how many times and how many churches that I've been in through, or church service I've been in, where God's Spirit just starts to move and then somebody stands up like Ananias and speaks a word out just because they want to be heard like everybody else. It stops. It quenches the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says it grieves the Spirit of God. You know, that's another thing, truth, that's changing me. Have you ever thought the Spirit's living inside of you and He grieves every time we make a wrong choice? He's literally weeping and wailing inside of us. Have you ever wondered why you wanted to cry and you don't know why? It sounds like a song. Cry and you don't know why. That's because the Spirit is crying inside of you. He's weeping inside of you. And oh, how He was weeping. See, giving goes bad when we're lying to humans and we think we're only lying to humans. Oh, we can pull the wool over their eyes. But the reality is we're lying to God. We're offering strange fire on the altar of worship. See, God establishes in His Word the right to have ownership. The problem was not Ananias' right to own, but the fact he was pretending to give it all like Barnabas. This destroys fellowship in the church body. This stops a move of the Holy Spirit. I want to read this quote to you by C.S. Lewis. This is what happens. Every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than what it was before. And taking your life as a whole, and with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you are slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature. Either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war with and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is heaven. That is, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. It's a battle that's going on inside of us, the real versus the fake. Is it give and goes bad when we start to lie to God? And giving goes bad when we agree that we're influenced by others to test the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to his wife Sapphira. I want to read that on and then we'll talk about it. So everybody heard it, and then verse 6, the young men rose and wrapped him up. Ananias carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, now it's almost like he was giving her another chance here. And sometimes we're so engrossed in our self-deception, in our spiritual front that we put on, that even though God gives us another chance, another mercy, another day, we choose not to do it. So and Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Bold-faced lie. That was a whole other level from what Ananias did. He just came and laid it at his feet kind of as a picture. He asked her directly, and she said, I gave it all to you. But Peter said to her, how is it that you've agreed together? You made a covenant with your husband to test the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. See, giving goes bad when we allow other people to influence and pressure us to disobey God. And people will keep sinning as long as the outside influences are used as an excuse for sin. Now, I want to read you a quote. There was a little boy that once said to his mother, Mother, why is it that whenever I do something wrong, it's because I'm a bad boy? But whenever you do something wrong, it's your nerves. Isn't that what we do spiritually, right? If we want God's Spirit to move through us, we have to be honest and we have to face what God is doing in our lives. Now, we're going to have to pick up next week, but I want to leave you with this thing. Why was the disrespect of Ananias and Sapphira such a big deal? Now, going back to their names, Ananias' name meant God is gracious. Her name meant beautiful. You know, God has a destiny and a plan for each and every one of us. And if we choose to substitute the fake worship for the real, we trade what God has designed and meant for us for destruction. See, the early church lived in this realm where they were operating because they were gospel-centered. They had an atmosphere of grace. They were not in unity with the realm of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Here was Ananias. Here was the whole church that was honestly giving everything. And then there were some fakers that came in. They were not operating in the same anointing of the Spirit that the whole church had been filled with. They disregarded the presence of the Lord and they faked their spirituality and lied to God. I want to leave you with this to be praying and thinking about, because I'm not going to get into all of this. In fact, it's probably too much to get in. This is probably a heavy, it is not probably, it is a heavy message. And the Spirit's going to have to work with you and kind of churn some things in your spirit this week on this. Fear. I can't tell you how many times in the church, myself and others, that I've traded the word fear of the Lord for, God just loves and accepts everybody. So I misused love. So I define love as a word that's not action and truth to a word that's just a feeling. But the word fear is not just having respect, because that word fear in the Greek, it means dread. It means to anticipate with great anxiety, exciting awe, or inconquerable fright. The only fear that we should have that's inconquerable is the fear of the Lord. Fear to the devil, fear to circumstances, fear to everything else is not of God. But healthy fear is that we fear Almighty God. And that's why God chose at this point in time in the church, the development. Because imagine how many times I would have died and you would have died had God chosen to use this as an example today. Because I've offered strange fire, fake worship. Let God sink that in your spirit. Now all of a sudden we can kind of be grateful because Ananias and Sapphira were used as an example in the beginning stages in the church. And there are going to be times probably that God's going to still do the same thing today. There's probably going to be some times that He has to do that even though He doesn't want to. But the thing is to think about your level of spiritual deception as it relates to a holy God who is filled with fire and wonder. And that word terror also means an overwhelming impulse. And it's not fear that I'm running away from God. It's fear that He's holy and I'm not. He's to be feared and worshipped and I'm not to be feared and worshipped. It's a respect. It's to have differential regard for esteem and to treat with consideration, to regard as inviolable, avoid intruding upon. You know, even little things like remembering to shut off our phones when we're coming to worship the Lord God. That's a piece of the fear of the Lord. Young people, it's a trace of understanding the fear of the Lord to when God's Word is being read and preached, to not be whispering back and forth to one another. Because this is the words of the Almighty God. Now, I'm not saying this to judge or condemn you, because I did it when I was a kid too, and I had my share of looking around when I was sitting as a kid in the pew and looking at what everybody else is doing, and there was always somebody, there was always these two ladies like the Muppets talking back and forth, you know. All those things, you know. I was entertained. But I know, and I can see all of your hearts, and I know, and I've seen you when God's using you all. His desire is to move through you like He did in the early church. That you would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. That you would see somebody that's struggling with drugs or alcohol and you would pray for them. That's your calling. God loves you so, so very much. He doesn't just give His Spirit to me or the elders in this church, to you. Yes. Yes. And when you tap into that destiny, that spiritual realm, and I've seen young people do that, man, you're going to blow some of these adults that are still stuck to the pews out of the water. Jonathan, you've got it. You've got it. You've got it. These little guys have it. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you, especially young people, remind your parents, your family, to start saying, God, I want you to show me what it means to fear you. What it means to walk in such a fear and awe and respect of you, that I could be used in such a powerful way as the early church was. Let God's love and His power just flow over you right now. It's the fear of the Lord that wants to cause us to crawl under the carpet. I can't get my way under here, but I would like to sometimes. God's so great. He's so delightful. He's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. Wow. Lord, show us your glory. That's what Moses prayed. Lord, show us your glory. Show us how great and how holy you are. How powerful you are. Lord, I pray that in this coming week that your Holy Spirit would just tenderize our hearts to receive this. That you would restore the fear and the terror of the Lord in your church today. That we would walk in your power, in your goodness, in your life, in your love like we never have before. Jesus, I pray that you bless your people this week. And Lord, I pray that whatever it is, if there's we have to stub our toe on the bed or a rock to remind us, to say, show us your glory, that you would do that. Because we don't want to miss out what you have for us right here on Rocky Step Road, Jesus. Teach us how to surrender. Teach us how to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it gets so much better, but next week I think we're going to have to digest that. So keep praying and God bless you. And I love you all this week.